This podcast is brought to you by Aviation Consumer Magazine, the consumer resource of pilots and aircraft owners.
Russ Niles reporting for AvWeb. We are with Brigadier General Richard L. Anderson. He is the chairman of the Board of Governors for the Civil Air Patrol. And General, it's been a long time since anyone changed the governance structure of the Civil Air Patrol, but some big changes are being implemented this year. Can you explain what they are, why they came about, and what benefit CAP will see from them?
Well, I've been around watching this thing for about three decades, watching it from the governing side of the equation, and I was in total agreement that we needed to shift our governance model to be more reflective of the move of governing body designation from the CAP Volunteer National Board to the Board of Governors back some 10, 11 years ago, a dozen years ago, you could call it, in round numbers. And so we had been talking about that for a substantial period of time, and then in the last year really mounted a sustained effort to do that. And so that's what we began on the 1st of October. We partially implemented and then fully implemented on the 1st of January. The benefit, I think, from the whole thing is it aligns responsibilities between the Board of Governors, the Headquarters Civil Air Patrol, full-time professional staff, and the volunteer leadership of the organization. Better defines lanes in which each of them should drive, better defines responsibilities, and focuses the volunteers in the field on the appropriate issues that they need to do focus on in order to accomplish the mission of the organization that's congressionally designated.
So the volunteers look after their part and the professionals look after their part, and they in turn cooperate together to get the job done, essentially. Is that correct?
That's the whole theory. I just think this will work much better. I guess to parcel out what you were saying, the Board of Governors, of course, takes care of the large, strategic, big-ticket, foundational sorts of issues and business that has to do with governing of the organization rather than getting mired down into day-to-day responsibilities. The headquarters staff creates the professional full-time presence to create the programs and manage them at the national level that are needed to facilitate where the rubber really meets the road, and that's what the 60,000 volunteer members of the organization do. They go off and do those congressionally mandated missions of cadet programs, aerospace education, and emergency services.
Times are changing. How is CAP changing with the times? What is the mission, and how has it changed over the years?
Well, the basic articulated mission has not really changed, because that mission remains the same as codified in federal statute. But in reality, what has changed is, I believe, is under the emergency services arena, which is almost a misnomer. It's more accurately described, I think, as operational missions. But the legislation talks about emergency services. And, of course, we've branched off to do a whole number of other things, some of which are homeland security related, such as the missions that are flown over Washington, D.C. to test the security, if you will, of the ADIZ over that area, and similar things like that. We are just doing a whole host of things for the Air Force, and I expect, nobody has told me this, but my intuition tells me that more than likely, Civil Air Patrol is going to have to broaden the kind of missions that it performs for the Air Force as the Department of Defense downsizes. There's going to be considerable downsizing, not only in force levels, but in manpower ceilings for all services. And Civil Air Patrol, again, this is my own intuition. I've never been told this, but intuitively, I think anyone can safely surmise that Civil Air Patrol is probably going to receive a set of cuts But by the same token, because the Air Force has received substantial cuts, I see a strong likelihood that the Air Force may have to use Civil Air Patrol in the performance of some missions in the future that they don't perform today. I can't even begin to fathom what those might be at this point, but intuitively I think that's going to be the case. I'm not sure where cuts would happen if they happen, but I think that Civil Air Patrol can still maintain its readiness. I don't think that the Air Force would reduce funding for Air Force missions that they deem to be crucial to the non-combat missions of the Air Force that the Secretary assigns to CAP.
Well, we appreciate your time today, General. It's Russ Niles reporting for AvWeb. Thanks for listening.
This podcast has been brought to you by Aviation Consumer Magazine. For more information on Aviation Consumer, log on to www.aviationconsumer.com.